The new Issues Etc. YouTube video features some of your favorite guests. Pastor Will Wheaton.
Because the one, the individual one, is so important. He would have done everything that he did if it had only been you.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller.
People are bored with God's word, so we've got to bring something else. So you have now a church service that has nothing to do with the Lord's word or with Jesus.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Do not fear that you face death. Do not fear that your sins are great.
And Pastor Bill Swirla.
The more you see your sin, the greater a Savior Jesus appears.
View and share the new Issues Etc. YouTube video. You'll find it at issuesetc.org and click support. Introduce Issues Etc. to your friends, family, and coworkers today with our new YouTube video.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We usually think of soldiers as doing the damage or taking life or destroying things. It's part of what they do. They are also there in a greater capacity to protect. Now, in Paul's day, it would have been the soldiers would have been the Roman soldiers, most likely, and they would have had no interest in Paul or his beliefs. And yet in chapter 21 of the book of Acts, we find soldiers protecting Paul. What kind of mess had Paul found himself in that he needed military protection? We're going to answer that question and tell the story from Acts chapter 21 as we teach a Sunday school lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, editor of Witness Mercy Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be back this week.
Pam, what kind of mess had Paul gotten himself into and why that he needs military protection in Acts chapter 21?
Well, that's a great question. You know, he had been on his journeys. He'd completed his three missionary journeys, and we read about those in chapters 13 to 21 of Acts. And now Paul has returned to Jerusalem, and he's visiting with James and the other elders of the congregation there. And in his visit, he recounts his endeavors among the Gentiles and tells the elders, you know, what had gone on about his preaching, about people coming to faith, you know, giving that sort of report. But in that congregation, there were members of that group who were still very Jewish in their view of how one is a Christian, and they were holding very tightly still to many of the customs of the Mosaic Law from the Old Testament. And so they weren't liking what they were hearing. They accused Paul of preaching that Jewish Christians should not continue to observe the Mosaic Law. And Paul really had insisted that Gentiles need not adhere to the Mosaic Law. But he also never required the Jewish Christians to give up their customs. So they were confused on what Paul was really preaching, what he had told Gentiles, what he was saying to the Jews, and they were up in arms, assuming things, making accusations, and causing really kind of a riot in the city, one so great that the soldiers had to come in to break it up.
So is it the fact, can we say this is Christian persecution, at least in the singular case of Paul?
Sure. And the persecution, though, coming from within the church, as sometimes it happens, people hear things, they hear what they want to hear, they make assumptions, they jump to conclusions, they make accusations, and they don't have the story straight. And how often that happens, and, you know, probably anyone listening could think of a time like that, and certainly many pastors in congregations where somebody would accuse them of doing or saying something and not quite have the story right and really cause a lot of problems in those accusations. You know, Paul actually, instead of telling the Jews, which the accusation was that he was telling the Jewish Christians to give up those rituals from the Mosaic Law, Paul actually was quite sensitive to that and knowing that that would be hard for them to give up, and he himself underwent the Old Testament purification rites in the temple, the ones that were prescribed for believers. And, you know, he knew and that those weren't necessary anymore because of Christ. But because of the weakness of the Jewish Christians, he did that so that he could, as he talks about in 1 Corinthians 9:22, become all things to all people. So with great Christian love and sensitivity, Paul undergoes those Mosaic laws, subjects to them, not because they're required to be faithful anymore, but because it would cause these Jewish Christians to stumble. And yet that's the very thing they were accusing him of.
Now, Paul's reasoning here, and you've mentioned this here, that he would not require of Gentiles the keeping of the ceremonial law, that he would not require of Jews that they entirely abandon their keeping of the ceremonial law or their outward observance of the ceremonial law. What's at the heart of that, whether one is a Jew or a Gentile Christian, for Paul?
Well, at the heart of that, it is Christ and the freedom that we have in Christ and the understanding that these ceremonial laws do not earn favor with God. They do not bring forgiveness of sins or salvation. That those things happen in Christ. And yet, he, in Christian love, for those who, for generations in their families, had followed those because they were prescribed by the one true God for the children of Israel. Paul knows this is a time of great transition in the church, where, you know, once Christ had come, not everybody fully understands that, not doesn't fully understand that Christ completely, by his death on the cross, made the complete, ultimate sacrifice for sins, fulfilled completely the law that was set down by God in the Old Testament, all of those ceremonial laws, all the laws. And so in Christ, those things have been fulfilled. So that's why he doesn't require the Gentile Christians to run backwards. He wants them to go forward, just as he does the Jewish Christians, but being sensitive to what they had for generations believed and understood about God's will for them as they practice their faith in him. He doesn't just slam the book and say no more. He allows it, and he himself subjects himself to some of those rites and things that were prescribed in the law, precisely so they wouldn't be alarmed or hurt or upset. And, you know, Paul's going to take that longer way, the kind of thing that I hear seminary professors encouraging young seminarians, you know, don't come in and put your fist down on the table and say, you're not going to do that anymore now that I'm pastor at this congregation. But teach, preach, love the people, and bring them along, and in time help them to see this thing that you've insisted on doing is not necessary for salvation, may not even be helpful for the people of God to be practicing in light of what Christ has done. And Paul very much sets an example for every pastor after him about how to treat the people of God. And this is a great story. And, of course, as you mentioned, the other part of it is the vocation of soldier and how God brings about his will through Roman soldiers who were likely not Christian, and yet God used them to protect Paul.
Now, let's talk a little bit. I want to come back to soldier near the end and the whole broader idea of vocation. Let's talk a little bit about persecution. Here, you know, Paul's life is actually being threatened. The mob could have, and he did need this kind of military muscle to make sure, that, at least in a human sense, that he was safe. Nowadays, Pam, you know as well as I do that Christians, especially here in America, we have just hair triggers when it comes to crying persecution, even an inconvenience. Or a perceived slight can be blown up into the proportion of, you know, the Christian martyrdom. Where do we rightly see persecution today, even though it may be subtle?
Well, I think a lot of times it is subtle. We live in a culture, particularly in the Western world, that is very much not tolerant of Christianity anymore. Eastern culture for a long time in many places hasn't been, but it's an increasing reality for a Christian in this Western world, in the United States, in Europe, and to face persecution in things that happen in culture, the kinds of things that are said or not said, the things that people tolerate or don't tolerate when it comes to matters of faith and confession of faith, and even the very issue that is, you know, kind of forefront right now, this whole health care mandate from the Health and Human Services Department of our government, the fact that there's the requirement to provide birth control is something that our church body has spoken about, not against the health care mandate or against the government or the administration of the president, but against this provision that would require even religious employers to provide drugs that we believe cause abortion and take the life of the unborn child in the womb. And that is a very clear, that's not subtle, it's a very clear form of persecution, of an attack on our religious freedom in this country. And those are things that the church has to stand up and speak about. But, you know, there are other persecutions in a work environment. Perhaps the Christian who is openly Christian practices their faith and seeks to live in a Christ-like way, may be ostracized from the rest of the group in the office because they're too goody-two-shoes or whatever. There's all kinds of ways that we see a full-scale attacks on the church in popular media and television shows and movies where the Christian church is painted in the worst possible light and made fun of or made a mockery of, and you know, you could go on and on in our world today about persecution, and yet we're very blessed in this land to not be facing death or the sword for our faith yet.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. When we come back, we'll talk more about the soldiers protecting Paul in Acts chapter 21.
In the 1500s, the Reformers grieved over the view people had of their callings in life, believing work done for the church superior to work done anywhere else. So the Reformers worked to restore a proper balance. But as it's written in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. 600 years later, with the thought of everyone a minister, haven't we gone back? The CLCC has released a new seminar on the doctrine of vocation, an important Lutheran teaching that has fallen into disuse over the years. The solution is to start teaching it once again. The seminar contains four lessons, with a standalone overview lesson available for circuit convocations. Serving our neighbors through our vocations is essential for the task of evangelism practiced according to Scripture. Contact us to schedule your seminar today at theclcc.org. That's theclcc.org. And please, consider joining the CLCC or making a donation to help us bring these powerful but low-cost seminars to the laity. theclcc.org.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300: Pilgrim Lutheran, Santa Monica, California; Emmanuel Lutheran, Terre Haute, Indiana; Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas; Trinity Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota; St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois; Our Savior Lutheran, Pipestone, Minnesota; Real Lutheran Fellowship, Rochester, Minnesota; Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas; St. James Lutheran, Logansport, Indiana; St. John's Lutheran, State Center, Iowa; and Trinity Lutheran, West Chicago, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300. Thank you. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We're talking about Acts chapter 21, where Roman soldiers carry Paul. They carry him back to the barracks to protect him. It does actually give him, if you read on in the next verses, opportunity to tell his story publicly to the people who had been calling for his blood just a few moments before. Now, Pam, we were talking before the break about persecution. And you said, you know, it has not come to the point where we're shedding blood here. But there are places in the world where Christians do die because they're Christians, yeah. Aren't there?
Absolutely. There are places where to be a Christian, you have to be secret about it. In the country of China, Christians cannot openly practice their faith. It's very carefully watched. Arab countries, you can't have a Bible, you can't practice the faith, you can't proselytize, you can't preach, you can't proclaim the gospel. Very clear, places like Turkey, Kazakhstan, and there are places that we know as a church body where the door is shut to the church. And we know from the news, there's the ongoing story of the pastor in Iran who's facing the death penalty for preaching openly the gospel. There's periodically these things make it to the popular media, but there are many, many more stories of persecution. Nigeria having a huge trouble where churches are being bombed with worshipers in them, being murdered and killed by, if not government, but people in the country who are against Christianity. These things go on in our day, and in fact, I don't know if this is true, but I've heard that in the 20th century till now, more persecutions of Christians than all history prior to that. I don't know if that's a true statistic or not, but I've heard it many times in the recent months. So we should thank God for his continued protection of us in this country, and yet at the same time pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who daily to practice their faith, take their life, their very lives in their hands. And we should also pray and plead with our Lord to protect the religious freedoms that our Constitution affords us and gives us. And we should be active as Christian citizens to do what we can within our vocation as citizens to defend, protect, and uphold that which our Constitution guarantees every citizen in this land. That's how we can serve in our vocation as citizens, to help speak to our representatives, get involved, let it be known that we don't want these rights to go away, that these are rights given to us as citizens of this country. So there's a lot we can do. And in all of it, we look to God and we trust him. And if that dark day comes, that religious freedom is taken from us, then we look to the example and the encouragement of brothers and sisters who've gone before us in other countries, in other times, and in this century, who live with this persecution daily, moment by moment. And we pray that their example is a teacher for us, strengthens us, and we pray that God, in his Holy Spirit, through his word and sacrament, would strengthen our faith in face of persecution that would seek even to take our life for the sake of the gospel. We have no idea. We're most blessed in this country, and we need to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who do not have what we have in terms of being able to openly proclaim the message of Jesus Christ.
The broader picture for us throughout these summer lessons that we've been talking about with you is vocation, and this would be the vocation of soldier here, doing kind of, this is the part of the vocation that attracts a lot of men into that vocation of soldier, and that is the ability to protect those who need protection, either here or abroad. Talk about it.
Well, that's right. Movies sensationalize the soldiers at war and at battle with the enemy, but a soldier's duty in all of that is to protect and defend their nation, their people, and if that requires battle, if that requires taking the life of an enemy so that they protect their people, then that's what they do. And they do that within their vocation. And Paul makes analogies in his writings about the life of a Christian, to be like a soldier, to be ready, to be watchful, to be prepared. Certainly, Scripture does not speak against the vocation of soldier. And Martin Luther, we know, wrote about the vocation of soldier. It falls under the fourth commandment. God works through this vocation to protect the peoples of a land from harm, from danger, from enemies without and within. And we see examples of that in our country. We have our National Guard that is there to protect us within our country. We have our police and all the different agencies that protect us from internal dangers. And we have our military that are in ports and places all over the world for the sake of this country, for our safety, for our freedom, so that we are not threatened on any land, on any soil where our people are. And in this story, you know, here is an example of word getting out that a single person was being mobbed, and the head of a troop of 1,000 sent his men in. They arrested Paul, not because he was a criminal, but because that was a way to get him out of that and to find out what was going on here and what was the story. And so in that, God works to protect Paul, to save him from the angry mob, using the Roman soldiers who were likely not Christian. And he does that for us. He uses our military to protect us. They're not all Christian. Probably most aren't. And yet, through their vocation, God serves us in their vocation as soldier and in the places that he places them to protect us. And a great link to all this. It's interesting that this story comes up now because of the August issue of The Lutheran Witness is all about our military and the church's care for the soldiers on the field and as they come back from the battlefields, our military chaplains, and the way that the church can proclaim the gospel, can bear mercy to men and women who maybe are broken by their vocation as soldier, who have suffered greatly in serving us in their calling. It's an amazing issue of The Lutheran Witness. It's hitting mailboxes as we speak. There's also an amazing video on the LCMS.org website. On the front page, you can find it, called Those Who Serve, and it speaks to all of this as well. Providential, I guess, that all this this lesson came up at the time that this new issue of The Lutheran Witness is out.
We will post a link to The Lutheran Witness at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. And next week, we'll talk with Pam about the instruction of Timothy in the Christian faith. That's next week with Pam Nielsen. She is editor of Witness Mercy Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Our conversations every week with Pam are based upon Growing in Christ, Sunday school curriculum produced by Concordia Publishing House. It is Christ-centered. It is cross-focused. And we find there at the very center of Christian suffering is a Savior who suffered for us. And our suffering connects us to his suffering, not because we suffer for him or we suffer for ourselves, but because he has joined himself to our suffering, every bit of it, in his suffering and death for us at the cross. It's those kind of themes that you will find in the great Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House, Growing in Christ. Ask for a free sample. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about Growing in Christ at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, it's Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. Now we're going to spend the second hour of the program doing two things. First, we're going to talk with Emily Cook. We're going to get her story of family suffering especially during a child's illness. She's got a book called Weak and Loved, A Mother-Daughter Love Story. And then we're going to open up the lines with a question for you, and I want your answer to it. Today, Missourians right here in the heart of the United States are going to the ballot box to decide many things, and among them is what's called Missouri Amendment 2. It's a proposed amendment to the Missouri Constitution that, in the minds of some, would secure religious freedom, the ability to pray privately in school and other public places, and just basically secure more of the First Amendment freedoms for Missourians. Many people feel it's necessary. Do you? We do have the First Amendment to the Constitution that is supposed to ensure religious freedom and the free exercise thereof. Do we need a state constitution amendment in Missouri to secure the same freedoms? Or is there a danger here when Christians feel like they're, well, they do feel like their freedoms are under assault? Is it the best thing to amend the Constitution? We'll be talking about that during audio open lines. I want to know what you think about Missouri Amendment 2. You can give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Remember, your city and state, so we know where you're listening. Or you can go to our Facebook fan page and answer that question for audio open lines starting here in about 40 minutes. That's facebook.com/issuesetc. We've left space there for you to leave your reaction to Missouri Amendment 2. facebook.com/issuesetc. That's coming up in hour two of Issues Etc. Christians will face persecution, little and big. And whether it's little or big, we face it the same way, trusting that the one who suffered and died for us may, although he may send us through suffering and death for his name's sake, promises us eternal life for his name's sake, too. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour two of Issues Etc. in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan gathers to receive our Lord's gifts in word, baptism, and supper every Sunday morning at 9:15. Bible study at 11. Join us at 4219 Park Lane in Door, or visit us on the web, epiphanydoor.org. Christ-centered, cross-focused, historic, confessional, liturgical, Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan, epiphanydoor.org, 616-681-0791.
Pastor Todd, I downloaded your Issues Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live or on demand with the new Issues Etc. Android or iPhone app. You can download these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. Download an app today.
My new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill.